So we're holding here in Vegas Rambam, and we saw last one was Igeres on Mishneh Torah. Now, it's interesting, it's all the same Talmud of his, seems to be his most important Talmud, or very close to him, very personal. He goes through the few letters here, the next one is very personal, and then two more like that on a different inyan. Okay, so it's Kvar Hadaticha Sheniftara Habasa Ktana. I've already told you that the little girl passed away. Hashem Yis'ala Yosem Yisosa Kapara. Now, this is very, very unclear. Who exactly is the person he's writing to? Someone whose small daughter passed away? Is the Rambam's own daughter? He brings here these letters we only have in translation. It's not clear that somebody edited and put together a few. So there are bits and pieces here not clear. And from the letter back and forth, it's mashma in some ways that he's talking about his own child. And on the other hand, it might be talking about the other person's child. The age-wise, it doesn't seem to work well for the Rambam, but yet, the way he writes about it, it seems like that. Whatever. Hashem Yis'ala Yosem Yisosa Kapara or Mishubi Kapara. B'ni. Now, it's interesting, he refers to this Talmud always as B'ni. It seemed to be somebody that he's particularly close to. Loitis Abel, Loitis Atzif. Loyal Zohol Anikeva. Don't be misabel too much, not in a zach, not in a keva. Now, not clear, the Rambam himself just got through, we saw two letters ago writing about how he had been devastated so terribly by his own brother's ptira. Maybe this was a baby that really wasn't yet, somebody that went out. I don't know. You know, those are pieces that are unknown. Shetoiv in yoni min ha'odom, it's a kol maskil. V'loi oimashu inyan toiv muchlot, elashu hu hayoisenos im ata daiga. She ain't tach bulubuzes a mitzisam to kenes tikken godel toiv ma'oid. Kifima she gozo chachmas boiroi, she ayin odom vistako betoiv in yoni mitzis aminim, loi she ayin vistako betoiv in yoni isha aproti. So the Rambam here says something which he discusses a lot in Mor Nevuchim. It's in the third chelek. There's two or three prokim on this topic. His points are that he hates the philosophers. I mean, he mentions some Muslims who say that the world is mostly bad and not good. He says the world is mostly good, not bad. But he also says, whenever we're trying to appraise how good the world is, first of all, we have to look at the big picture, not the small picture. So we may be suffering a lot, but there's a bigger reason, whether we know it or not, there's a bigger picture than just us ourselves. That's one thing he mentions over there. And he speaks from perspective of what's good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good. He says pretty much the same thing. He says, Toiv inyoni min ha'odom it's a kol maskil. Human affairs, anyone who's a bardas sees human affairs as being basically good. V'loy oymar shehu inyan toiv muchlot. I'm not saying that it's absolutely perfect and everything is always good. What I mean to say is shehu ayoysenos u'me'ata daiga. It is more good than not good. The best proof is most people want to live rather than not. It's and he says the she'ein tachbulu was a sam. He says can it's taken godel toib me'oid. Kefima shegaz chachmas bayrei. Hakadosh Baruch Hu was geizer that this world is toib me'oid from a human perspective, but it can't be had. It has to be had when a person looks at the min as boy from Kololi. not when you try to look at your own personal life. So the perspective of Toiv needs to be understood from a bigger picture and not from a personal picture. And I guess this is a perspective where whatever Toiv it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for the world as a whole, so each prat is a part of that Toiv. And when you'll get the prokim from Mor Nevuchim that I'm dealing with this inyan, you'll understand it better. So it's the same Talmud that he's saying Mor Nevuchim to. He seems to have already sent him quite a few of the chapters. He seemed to have in mind he's going to write those chapters on this inyan, and he says when you get them, it'll be more clear. And basically, those are the nekudas that he discusses over there in Mor Nevuchim. That's point one. Beis. Ukvoid haben yodea. And again, Ben over here is a lashon chibur for him. That's not his son. He's not writing to his son. So what appears in always when you read a letter, you have to know what was the letter written to him. It appears from the Rambam that his Talmud Rabbi Yosef had told him that he heard that he became the Sultan's doctor, and he's very, very, you know, in awe. It must be wonderful and fantastic. Congratulations. That must have been the nusach that he wrote to him. Ukveda ben Yedei said, Ke'elu ha'gdulois v'asrorish l'yehudim ata b'zazman. Any time when a Jew reaches high positions, einan etzli hatzlocha, I don't see that success. V'loi toiva shleimu m'chuvenes. And not something that is fantastically good that a person should aspire for it. V'loi ro me'uta chai Hashem esala. It's not a little bad. Ala tachlis ha'torach v'omel v'yegia. It is just the most difficult drudge job. In other words, it's really something you don't want. Why? A person who can be successful and wants to be successful, he should look into his religious obligations and his atzloch in there. He should be misrachik from what people think is successful, or he might mean in general to keep away from people. It's in line with what the Rama writes, that when society is not great, a person should draw back from society. It could be he felt that was true. Somebody who becomes high office, his sorrows and worries increase. Maybe the goyim will badmouth him, and they will get him trapped by the government. They'll have him arrested. They can put him in jail and break his bones. And the Rambam actually was a victim of Halshana. He writes that in the letter we saw before, somebody bad-mouthed him. I don't know if in this tkufa, but whatever it was, he got out by the skin of his teeth, and therefore it's he's writing either from experience or premonition. V'miyabed binyonei odem v'she'ayshe darker lefnehem. And if he's working over here, people are jealous, and they could get him ensnared. If he tries to be yoytze what people want from him, kvar amad k'neged Torah Hashem Yis'ala, then he's going against the Torah, v'asech hanifus emas upon him. So then he's hanfening, and he is saying things that are not true, and also not good. And the Torah is very against people who give covet to those people that are against the Torah. It's like the Navi told Shmuel told Eli HaKoyen, v'techabed espanecha mimeni. You preferred your children over me. So it's very interesting because over there it's not really giving cover to them. I mean, he had his kids, he had them doing the avoda, so that's, it's wrong. But it's ke'ilu, the Rambam is saying that this is a what's the right word for it? It's the giving cover to people who are not worthy as being something bad. He learns it from there. Al kapanim. So Rami is making two fascinating points. One about avelus, and one needs to understand what's very not clear from here. And I don't have an answer. I just don't know the circumstances. When does the Rambam mean that one ought not to be misabel, especially when he writes about himself? So it could be that there's a certain amount of time. Like it says, if you misabel on a meis yosemidai, so the Rambam is addressing what he felt was yosemidai. That's one possibility. A second possibility is it may have been like a baby where it's a tragedy, but the person doesn't have the type of pnimis tika kesha that you would have with a grown-up. Be it as it may, I don't know the answer to that. The second one where he says, don't hold me up high for being so high up in the government, because basically it's a it's a lose-lose situation. You either have to chan for people, or you're taking a chance of falling really bad. He also includes in it the point that measuring success by the world thinks is success, by the headlines, is not success. And it's something that I guess today, Baruch Hashem, was able to have all sorts of Jewish people in high profile offices, and everybody thinks it's very wonderful. It's a problem, because at the end of the day, if anything goes wrong, and usually something will go wrong, they'll blame a Jew and the Jews, or people will be mekaneh of the success of those people, or whatever it is. The true and tried method was to have a guy be in the position of power, and you build a relationship with him where he's able to do for you. So you deflect a lot of the criticism and so on. But the Rambam says being high profile is no glick. The Rambam also writes, when he became the doctor to the Sultan, he had no time left to do any of his learning or anything. All his creative ability, all his creative accomplishments happened before that. I mean, Mor Nevuchim, he finished kind of as he was doing it, and he didn't even have time to meet with the translator. He said, if you give me a list of words, I'll answer you how to translate them, but I have no time to meet with you because I'm just overwhelmed all day long with the king and his court. Every morning I go there and I get caught up with everything they're doing over there. I have to check everybody, see everybody, and come back, and I'm general koach. So the Rambam says it's taking away from true accomplishments or ruchnistic accomplishments. Very, very interesting. Okay.
Two questions.
Yes.
First.
Dentists are okay, Alex.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Dentists are okay. They don't have the problems the Rambam mentioned.
Dentists are okay.
Yeah, the dentist didn't. I see you're still wearing your green scrubs or whatever.
Yeah, I gotta get home, put the kids to sleep, and then,
Okay, yeah.
But the first question is, I heard last week that somebody said that since Yaakov gave a chanifa to Esav, we said that he did it, it seems like it was okay, and we learned from that that it's okay.
Yeah.
So
is there, since he did chanifa, it's okay?
That's okay. The Rambam saying it's not okay.
So the point is like this: even if it's okay, it's okay for pikuach nefesh. So it's a wrong hanhaga. I mean, Chazal learned the whole issa chanifa from Agrippa Samelach. Agrippa Samelach was a non-Jewish or not eligible to be a Jewish king, and he felt very bad, and everybody said achinata and so on, and that's where the Gemara learns that you can't be machnif. Pekuach nefesh is certainly doche chanifa. It's not one of the Gimel Chamuris, but A, it means that you're having to do something you ought not to do. And in the Rambam's case, it's more general. It's just that in order to keep a good interface with people, you have to constantly be saying things to them that are not true, and he's bothered by it. So there's no immediate pikuach nefesh. It's just if you don't keep covering your bases, at some point someone is going to get jealous and so on.
Okay. Other question is by the first part. So the people who this is, I hear a lot of people say how bad today's generation is, and there's a lot of this is something I refrain to hear a lot, but how bad it is we have today, with how difficult our kids have it, and how low the generation is. That kind of talk, it sounds like it could be a little bit not like the Rambam. The Rambam saying you have to have more of like a positive picture of Hashem's world. Maybe, or is that not what the Rambam
said? So, you know, when you're seeing a patient, you look at the hole in the tooth and you don't tell them, well, the good news is 31 teeth are very good, but this one is really bad. You focus at the one. So definitely people need to have a positive look at things. But part of life is we need to accomplish. We need to point out to ourselves what is it that we're deficient in. Every door has its challenges, so it's appropriate to say that. You know, it's interesting because I spoke to an old man. He was a friend of my father's, Baruch Chaim, much, much younger, obviously. He's a man in his 90s, very astute person. And he said, what are they talking about? Today's generation is so much a better generation than what I remember in Europe. It's a much frumer generation, it's a much more accepting, to me, mistake. But the truth is, each generation is defined by its strength and its weaknesses. So bearing in mind what those weaknesses are, fine, but the krechtsing and the clogging, I don't know, I'm just, I don't think it's a terribly positive, I don't know what it does exactly. It's a way of comforting yourself, of saying, oh, yeah, today's terrible. So, no, today's challenge, you know, today is today's challenges, and we need to do today's challenges. Somebody once said there were two tailors talking in Europe. You know, business was bad, and one said the solution for bad business is going to be Tchias HaMeisim, because when all the dead people get up, they're going to need suits. So the second tailor told him, but you know, all the old tailors will also get up. So basically we're back to square one. So he said, no. He said, they don't know the modern styles, and we do. So everyone's gonna need the suits. You know, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us our generation with our challenges. I mean, and our miles. I don't think it was ever thinkable that a half a dozen people could be sitting and learning in 10 different places like this. You know, so the internet is terrible, terrible. It's also an opportunity. I don't know. You know, you have to look at it and figure out what you need to do. Okay. I want to tell you something. You know, when people speak about terrible, terrible, look at the Rambam. We saw the first letter about that none of the women were going to the mikveh, and they were all sprinkling water and doing some ritual. It's stunning. Ask people how many people, you know, what was the percentage of women going to the mikveh in the Rambam's days? Everyone would say, you know, 120%, 130%, you know. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam has to sign off, and saying Rubam, the Rambam says don't, and they have this weird ritual, you know. So things are okay. Next one. This is, someone had asked him a shayla, and again, it's always hard to tell. There's a bit of guesswork in knowing what exactly shayla was, so you have to extrapolate from the etshuva. But it more or less, the question was, is there an absolute end? Is everybody's life have a kitzvah within the framework of natural life? In other words, like this. a human body is really the top age that scientists give that it could stretch itself is 120 years. There is some sort of internal process that's like 120 years is the age. Fine. Things can happen in the middle. But is there another thing called a cates that we're given only X amount of years and that's it? So this was a very Muslim type of approach, and the Muslims are extremely, that was part of their attitude. You know, Allah said that you're going to die in this time, that's it, no more than that, and so on. So he says, Ein etzlenu kates katzav l'chaim. We don't believe in that type of, you know, end to life. The omnom balchaim yicha kosmash is chala mashev in chuser chiyunis, betamut beina, late deposit, much zach galinus, shiba samavazi, hefsit shiba chaimativi. As long as a living being doesn't lose the internal vitality that Galen writes, hefsetabo, mesibis amnizis befnim, mesibis amosamichuts. Omnom, hasibis mis befnim, mesibis amichuts. So basically just outlines two medical challenges. You know, there's internal medical issues that if a person allows himself to become to this or to this or to that, or outside ones, heat, cold, wrong food, stuff like that, that he can, yes, that can destroy his life. You also have accidents, outside accidents, something falls on you, you get hurt, you fall down from someplace. So as long as a person is careful of these things, there is not a preset limit. Now, it could also be, it does mention here somewhere, I believe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can intervene because the person does averis. But there is no preset limit with it less than the natural limit of life. I'll bring some rayas. Some of them are rayas torios from the Torah. Vasheni rayas ativius from nature, from the world around, things like that. So he says like this. And by the way, we don't have that at the end of the tshuva. First, let's bring rayas from the Torah because they're important. Being that this is a higher form of chachma, the natural chachma, and it's where a person strives, so let's start with the stronger one first, which is Torah. Amma, first. Kisivna ba'ezcharaziz makilagagecha. Yerizah pasuk. The Torah says you need to put in a railing onto your roof. It's a chiv deraisa, it's a mitzvah essay. And the mashmos is that if a person does it, yachiku pigyosam. Vilahoisa hachana built him a ila bar chaksab goyim, and if it wouldn't help, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gazing that you fall off a roof, that you die, what's it going to help to build a Micah? And if it was nigs on him, the Micah wouldn't help. We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned us, gave us a chiyuv to put a Micah. It obviously helps. This is very against the people. You know, there's no need to put in fire alarms because every fire, and they quote in Or Samech, it bothers me to no end. They quote Or Samech says that every bullet has its address. I don't know when he said it, I don't know how he said it, I don't know what tone of voice he said it, I don't know about whom he said it. But you can't build a sheet of pikuach nefesh based on that. I heard from somebody, he was in yeshiva during the Gulf War in Nebrak, and they told him not to go into a shelter because Kiyadua Dar Samer says that everybody has their every bullet has its address and so on and so forth. The Rambam says not like that. The Rambam is building it on mitzvah de reisa. If every bullet has its address, then every roof has its address as well. And the Torah, and you're over, the Torah says, well, sasin dom beisecha. If a person does something that's not reasonable and responsible for caution, then he's over an essay de reisa, well, sasin dom beisecha. It's a very harsh essay. It's a piruch nefesh essay. Secondly, V'chein Amr Yis'ala b'achonah sheish arim miklot migoyel. It says, V'krish lachem arim, v'yisalem arim l'miklot migoyel. V'amah why per yudav gol adamach ratzeach. Hari shuhusma l'miklot lonus ilav k'deish li'ageir gol adam. V'yohoy l'keitz kotzerim as a gol adam. If that was predestined, l'yisrael hachonah arim miklot, hol v'nigdash gol adam y'ageiu. And you see the Torah had us live in a world where the bad happens if you don't guard against it, and the good happens, if you protect it. It's obvious that the guy is giving him an option, and he's saying, listen, if you're too scared to go, go back home. Obviously, when you sit at home, it's safer than when you're in a battlefield. So he brings three mitzvahs that are totally on this understanding that a person, that this philosophy of every bullet having an address is wrong. You see, it was up in the air. Tshuva could work, and it could, and it could. So that also, in other words, the Arabs, the Muslims, have a very, very deterministic thing, and nothing helps. It's Allah's will you die, it's Allah's will you live. Almost, not, this whole flexibility, all that didn't play in over there. So he says over here, you see, be like kitzim kotzos manchi gil vachat shuva the mezikim meriam afliksham lo shavu. Manefshach, he said, if they were destined to die within those days, then the tshuva shouldn't help. If it was a game and they weren't destined, so why did they need to do tshuva? They would have not died until later anyway. In other words, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there's a certain level of fluidity which depends on natural events. It depends on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Eschar V'onesh, Chet, and so on. So why do you see the people who are tzaddikim gemurim do have kitzei yomim and sometimes the shoyim live long? It's a person's maisim. Why a Kaddish Baruch decides to be so sharp and strong with somebody, the other person not, that we don't know. But it's all part of this, the maisim. Now, another raya, and then finally, Amar b'mitzvus manir b'yemechem yoyerish ezik b'mitzvus lar yarech esachayim. Chen Amar lechiske hine yosef lechal yemecho chomeshes yeshana v'hoyezek hashashav lefisha oival mitzvus peri v'rivyo lefisha bruch hakodesh aslotzmen abonim shenem agunim b'shav izkapol emesal shleisov. And we're missing the rest of the letter with all the other rayas and so on, the medical rayas. There seems to be a Gemara that almost seems to be opposite. The Gemara speaks about Mazel, and the Gemara says Rava and Rav Chista, he died young, he lived old, they were both tzaddikim, and the Gemara speaks about there being Mazel. So the Shalakeda goes through it, and the Barbanel, and they both say the same type of idea, that there are different factors that play into it. They don't say that different than the Rambam, except that they are a lot more, they put in more factors. They say Mazel is part of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in advance, if it'll be poor or rich, smart or stupid, and so on, life, expensive life is part of that. And that's what the Gemara there seems to be Mashma Mefurish. That's what the Akedah writes, except Tefillah overcomes it. It's possible to through Tefillah, through Ishtadlus. So they also build in a certain fluidity into it, and they include obviously these points, but it's broader than just everybody's meant to live till 120, except for X, Y, and Z. So I don't know, but Al Kapanim, but the Rambam is very strong about it, and the Sudrayas are very strong Rayas. Certainly the idea that a person can say, well, if it's Bashet, it's Bashet, not Bashet, not Bashet, is Krum. It's Be'er Hashkafa, and it's not right. So I think that's clear in Ram. Okay, we have a few moments, and I have to go. Any questions, anything?
Lubyansky.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can.
So there's, well, Chaim Parshas told us, I think, where he talks about how a person has bechir to kill somebody, even the Kaddish Baruch Hu,
yes,
is not going, so they should be killed. So that always seemed to me like a little bit far out, because usually we accept the call of Bachas Rosh Hashanah, a person in need on whether they're going to live or die. But here the Rambam seems to be going even further, because the whole Raya from Makia seems to be that something could happen b'mikre, and it could be a Kaddish Baruch Hu who's not gozer otherwise that they should die, but I don't make a Makia, they fall off my roof, and it's not a Kaddish Baruch Hu who's Zera, and it's not my exercise of Bechira, it's just, it happens. Am I getting the Rambam correctly, or is...
So I think, no, the Rambam seems to say that the person's recklessness can cause it. The person's own recklessness can cause things. So I would assume it's midarke ha'olam, that if you're reckless, you cause this problem. That's one possibility. What you mentioned, Chaim, it's Rabbi Nasadia Gaon actually says. Rabbi Nasadia Gaon is the first one, to best knowledge, that deals with this question. And he was asked, if somebody kills somebody, which was destined, that he would kill him or that he would die? And Rabbi Nasadia Gaon says, the person's death is seen as a gzeira. The person's act of killing is seen as ritzicha. You know, for the family who lost somebody, their attitude has to be Mashem Yatzadavar. And again, you can do it with Averis, like he says, you can put it that effect. The other person, we look at it in terms of Rotzeach. And we just have to live with the two. There's no resolution. For us, it's either or. Rabbi Saigon says we have to live with both of them. Brings a chazal, but more or less it's the same. So I would say that the Rambam's cases here are all cases where you don't take the precautions that are needed to be able to keep living. If you have a place, if you have a car without brakes, it's a problem. And you have a roof without this, you're a pider chateva, shortening your expectancy. I think that's what it means. Okay, beseda gomer. Okay, so good night. Call it to bye.
Bye.